Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. And if you're watching Crappens on Demand, you may notice that the person next to me is not Ronnie Kerhem, unless his surgery went dreadfully wrong.
I tried to look like him, but it just didn't come together.
Ronnie is, he actually got his eyes done today, which is so exciting. And,
congratulations, Ronnie.
Congratulations, all eyes on Ronnie. But so in his place, we want Ronnie to have a very speedy and wonderful recovery.
We do.
We do. We have a luminary. This is someone who is so impressive and so, I'm going to say, important.
Oh, gosh. I did not write this.
Yeah. No, what you have written is many things. You are the co-host of One Song, which is a podcast you can listen to right now if you're a music fan. Even if you're not a music fan, you should just listen to it. You are also the creator of Southside, a beloved and hilarious show, and Sherman Showcase, and you're a writer on Jimmy Fallon, and you've worked with the likes from anywhere from Maya Rudolph to Barack Obama. And now you are here. It's Diallo Riddle. Hi, Diallo.
Hey, thank you for having me. I got to say that I was telling you right before we started that I've done many things, but this is where I don't want to fuck it up because this is it's literally such my favorite podcast that I have nothing to do with. And this is actually the podcast that got me into Bravo.
Really?
Before I watched Bravo, I would walk through the room and my wife was laughing and I was like, oh, what is she laughing at? And I was hoping it was something I had written, but no, it was you guys. And we came and saw you guys live at one of your shows in New York. And I was immediately like, what these guys do is freaking special. Like it was so funny. And so I started listening to the podcast and then I started watching the shows so that I could get an extra layer from this podcast. And when I went on Watch What Happens, I actually told Andy, I was like, I wasn't even into Bravo until Watch What Crappens came along. And he was just like, yeah, I love what they do. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's awesome. And you had a very special night because you got to be on the same night as Meredith Marks.
And I'm so happy. Not only did I get to meet Meredith, but Brooks was there. And we got to hang out with them in New York that night. We got to hang out with Brooks. It was really fun and kind of surreal.
Are you watching Next Gen New York City?
Absolutely. And I think, it's just Brooks is a star. And I feel like there's a lot going on in that show. I just started watching it, but I'm loving it so far.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it too. I think Brooks is a revelation on that show because I always thought Brooks was this like, you know, fashion city gay who's just like over everything, just like going to a fashion show. But it turns out he's like very like meek and sweet, and he just wants to be home and crochet and things like that, and that's like so lovely.
I love the scene where he says you fired me.
Yeah.
That was so funny because I feel like she was like kind of like on the verge of firing him the night we were hanging out. So I was just like, man, that just must be something she does.
I think that she's like Murphy Brown. She's just like, you are fired. Except it's always the same secretary.
I will say when I was on Watch What Happens, she said something to the effect of, because I was on there to talk about Salt Lake, which is, you know, obviously surreally good. But at some point, I think I had mentioned Beverly Hills at the time a couple of times. And she turns to me during a commercial. She's like, what about my show? Meredith, I have so much to say about your show.
Why are you not talking about Salt Lake City? I brought my toddler here and you're not even entertaining him.
Brooks is getting ready to leave.
Meredith was kind enough to come on to our show when we were in Utah a few years ago, and she was great. She was so fun. And Seth was there. We had no Brooks. We had Heather, though. So that was a fun time. I can't wait for Salt Lake City to come back. However, in the meantime,
yes,
We have, I think, probably the next best thing to Salt Lake City.
It really is special.
Which is Miami.
Yes, it is so good. And so much happened in this episode in particular, because I will say that the whole fight between Julia and Gertie was really, it was kind of getting me down.
Yeah.
I was definitely, I'm a Team Gertie kind of person. I felt like, you know, to see Kiki and the other ones sort of not understand where she was coming from was a little bit, I was just like, are y'all not listening to this poor lady?
You know? I thought that was wild. The reason why I called upon you today for Miami, aside from the fact that you are wonderful. And by the way, thanks again for mentioning our podcast to Barack Obama. That was a real honor. I'm pretty sure you did. I'm just assuming you did.
Yeah, oh, of course. It was the first thing out of my mouth.
you're like Hope, more like Crappens. The reason why is you were also, this is not your first time technically on the podcast, because you've been a host. You've been a presenter two times.
Yes.
On the Crappies. And
I mark my calendar. I love the Crappies. The Crappies are so much fun. And if you're in that city, you have to drop everything.
Well, thank you.
It is so much fun. And it's not even just for who might show up. It's for the camaraderie you feel in that audience. Like, we were all singing Away in a Manger in a Barlow voice at one point in the audience. Like, it is absolutely up there with BravoCon, I think.
Thank you. I mean, it's the best. We love putting on that show. And because you do bring everyone together and everyone cheers. But the reason why I brought you on for Miami Day, because I'm gonna have subs all week, which would be very exciting. But I thought of you for Miami because 3 years ago when we did it at the Wiltern, Miami won Best Show of the Year at the Crappies that year. And you were sitting in the front row. And I just remember opening up the envelope to announce like Best Show of the Year and reading Real Housewives of Miami, and you fist pumped. You jumped from your seat and you punched the air and went, yes.
There was an open bar. Let's be clear. Miami is special. I freaking love Miami. It has so many things going on in it that don't happen on any other show.
Yeah.
Specifically, I love the fact that you have such a diverse cast. Like, it hits so many different levels, and you have, like, you know, Alexia. It seems like there's a rotating cast out of that last position, you know. Dr. Nicole's gone, but now we have Stephanie. Like, it's never stopped being interesting.
Yeah, they really understand the assignment. Like, I feel like everyone understands the assignment. It's not just the cast members. It's like production does too.
Production. Oh, yes, I meant to say that. Like, I feel like this is the show that changed the way all the Housewives shows 100%. Are shot.
Yeah. It looks beautiful. Yep. It's shot beautifully. It showcases the city. I really just love it. My one, like, I'm going to give a quibble, which is that this episode, they were starting to do that thing where, like, a lot of, like, on-screen chirons and silliness in terms of, like, goddess of this and that later on.
I don't know, like, if we need that.
I don't like when shows do that, because
the show's tardiness. Yeah,
we don't need the show to add a joke onto the joke. Like, the women are already funny enough, so when they do that, it's like, you don't need to squeeze that lemon for extra juice. Like, there's so much lemonade
already
coming.
I really agree. Can I also say, I'm a music guy. I always notice music. The other thing that they've gone, and I never thought I would be saying this, but I think bring back Trixie Monocle. I think bring it, because, like, now they're doing this sort of generic instrumental reggae tone as transitions, and I kind of miss, like, Miami's hot, the heat will burn you. Like, I miss all those dumb.
I know
songs.
It's like they were like doing AI generated lyrics before like ChatGPT came along. Yes. It was like, okay, we need a song about Miami and heat and the tropics and the beat,
or you know, plug in the words boss, bitch.
Oh yeah.
Of my business, you know, watch me do, like, it's weird, because before AI was everywhere, I felt like there was AI generating these songs, and now that we have AI, they're not doing any lyrics. It's very confusing.
They're really slacking on the job. I mean, if you're gonna take over, like, the world, at least do a good job of it, right? By the way, people who don't know about One Song is that you guys really, you take a song and you just, like, go in and you, like, peel away layer by layer and analyze the shit out of it, which of course begs an important question. Are you going to do the One Song treatment for Adriana's song on Faya?
We absolutely.
I think that you pretty much just did the lyrics.
That is absolutely. We need to do that. You know, the thing is, we'll probably need to find the musical stems on our show. Mm. We don't just talk about the the cultural context in which it was created, which on, you know, for her would be amazing. But we also had to find like the stems because we want to say, hey, here's the drum line. Here's the bass line. And then we talk about the legacy. I don't know that Faya's legacy has ever been explored on a podcast. It is definitely a gap in our repertoire.
I'm sure we can find the GarageBand file for you, and we will get those loops ready for your podcast as soon as possible.
Looking forward to it.
I'm not going to lie. I do wind up singing that song to myself a lot, like way more. But anyway, let's get into it. We've already bantered so much. This is a big episode for two reasons. We didn't recap last week because we were off for July 4th.
Oh, wow.
And so this is our first time on the podcast talking about the taglines and also the new cast members. So this is instrumental. And for anyone who's watching with Crappens on Demand, it may look very different. That's because since we're in person, we're using my in-person camera setup. So if there's any wonkiness, I apologize ahead of time. I've literally never done this with Crappens. I've done it with my board game stuff, but not this. So apologies ahead of time. But shall we get into the Miami taglines?
Let's get into the taglines.
So the first one is Alexia, and she says, well, I may be a Cuban doll, but I'm no one's toy. How do you feel?
Well, can I just say, I thought she was going to change this tagline, you know, because I think they had to change it for like a copyright or something like that.
Oh, Barbie.
Barbie, yeah.
Mattel was like, you know what? This is too much. She doesn't represent the brand.
Which is weird because it means like somebody at Mattel is really watching the show. Like, I mean, like I thought she would change it, but now we've got the same one for the past 2 years. But, you know, she is admittedly one of my favorite, you know, on the show. Yeah, she's the one who actually wrote me in the beginning.
Yeah, she is actually great. And it's amazing because in the first three seasons of the show, she was not the central one. Mm-hmm. And now that they've, like, really centered her, she's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, she does feel like the center of the show.
Yes. Then we go to Larsa, who says, it's hard to get on my bad side, like... Because I don't have one, like.
Like, honestly, if I'm being honest. Larsa. Man, I feel like she's another sort of, you can't replace her. Like, you need her on the show. I mean,
yeah.
And especially in this season, I feel like she's in rare form. She's in top
Larsa,
form.
So she was on season one and then not season two, season three. She was so awful season one. Did you ever watch those original three seasons?
I've gone back and discovered that.
She was wretched that first season. But like, you know, now, I mean, she's not wretched, but she's like entertaining wretched now.
She's such a good, and I'm calling her a villain, but really like she's the villain that you have to have on the show. Like there's nothing better than, and granted, we didn't know he was going to die yet, but when they're in the car going to the Milan, she says, your father is dying and you're here in Milan. Like, you know, like it's just like, that's the kind of energy that I think we need on the show.
Yeah. And I actually love when Larsa drops her baby doll voice to get real, which is because normally she's like, I had a really good time today. I'm in Milan. And she's like, well, and Lisa's like, well, my dad's dying. She's like, well, what are you doing here in Milan? And I love like this other voice comes out, like the real Larsa.
That's the real Larsa. That's the real Larsa. I mean, like, I almost don't recognize her when like that scene where she's with her mom or whatever. But like, when she comes out, she comes out. How much do we love Preston Pippin, by the way? I love that.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
He seems nice. He seems like a cool guy. I
have
like
to say, I have remarkably few opinions on Preston Pippin.
I don't know. It was nice to see such a chill dude who looks identical to his dad. I got to say, the other thing I loved about that Milan episode was Fabulous.
Fabulous as the referee.
That was insane. Judge Fabulous, by the way, I would totally watch Judge Fabulous.
100%.
Like, Fabulous settles an argument between two people he just met at a party every episode. I would love to watch that.
Yeah, good for him, Fabulous. He lives up to his name. But Larsa, what do you think about this line? It's hard to get on my bad side because I don't have one. I feel like it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. I feel like it could be a little better.
Yeah. I mean, especially for Larsa. It's such a big personality. You want something that like really screams out. But you know what I do like about it? It's in its own way dishonest.
Yes.
So it's definitely on character. Yes. That's what I like about it.
Then we have Gertie who says, I'm a fierce fighter and an even stronger survivor.
Yeah. She got the words out.
Yeah.
You know, with Gertie, it's always like this push and pull. No, I mean, like, look, we're so happy that she's cancer free, and I've really been following. I've been on her side for a lot of the struggles this season.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're all on Team Gertie. Julia.
Oh gosh.
My chicken coop is full, and now so is my house.
I don't.
Not her glass of water. It's not full. Not full anymore.
Not full. I thought we were going to go with some kind of goat reference, you know, like, you know, to goat. Raise goats, you've got to be the goat. or just something.
Just sitting there. Like
sitting
something
right there.
I mean, chickens are not really her personality. It's more like goats. I thought today. Yeah, I was surprised that chickens got the tagline, not the goat. And then today, in today's episode, as we see, there's a very serious hurricane that comes through, which I love. I love that the show has a hurricane in the middle of it. And she mentions that she had to lock up all her chickens in the coop. And I was like, oh, so this is why the tagline, because the chickens are going to get loose and they're going to run away. It's going to be a whole drama for her. But they didn't. The chickens were fine.
I feel like with Julia, there's so many directions they could have gone. I'm not sure even that the end of it. And now is my house. Okay, kind of. But, you know, we haven't even seen these kids. I don't know.
It seems like a big house. I feel like two children. It's like, it's
exactly.
I don't know.
Martina's not hurting for space.
Yeah. Lisa, I may not be prompt, but I'm worth the wait. And our shady ass note taker. I think this is a typo. But I love our note taker.
So she spelled wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. A little bit of shade there.
I think it was a typo, but it's a very funny typo, Nadine. So we appreciate you.
No, Lisa's having a stand-up year. You know, she finally got to briefly walk the runway. That was the shortest walk I have ever seen, ever. Yes. Like, I was like, did she like just cut it in half? I feel like she didn't walk as far as she was supposed to.
She missed the first half of her walk because she was late. I don't know. By the way, I'm not sure that Lisa Hoxton is worth the wait. When she says I may not be prompt, but I'm worth the wait. I'm not sure 2 hours is a long time to validate.
Man, I mean, like that 2 hours seems interminable. I don't know how they got those. I mean, that must have been part of. Sometimes I don't know if I should even say this, but I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Sometimes I feel like the producers have to know, like when Lisa and Larsa had the same car, like that seemed like that was just to stir the pot a little bit. And then maybe they gave Lisa the wrong time because 2 hours is insane.
So back in like the early days of Crappens, Jill Zarin came on to the show and she was like, you know what the producers do? They always make us run late. They always put us in cars that make us run late. So that way when we get to the event, we're all agitated. And that's for 10 years that has stayed with me, that's actually one that's up their sleeve. Like they're not late. It's just the producer sent the cars late and then everyone's annoyed and then they fight. And then they can't say, well, production was late.
And by the way, it was suspicious. I knew somebody was going to be late this season when we first meet Stephanie. And the first thing she says is, there are a couple of things I don't like. I don't like people who are late.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is the callback. Okay, I get it.
She's like, I'm going to set up my storyline for the producers so they know how to set the scene. I don't like when people are late. I hate when people eat olives. It's like next episode, like olive party.
No, that was I feel like sometimes I'm like, I see some foreshadowing happening here.
And speaking of Stephanie, you want to do Stephanie's line? You do it.
I don't just sell luxury, I live it. Okay, like I feel like if you had a plug and play with a lot of Stephanie's, just this initial, we've only known her for two episodes essentially. I feel like there's always St. Bart's or Birkenbag, or like some of these things are like sort of like Real Housewives staples, but there seems to be just this, when she's talking about the gifts that she gave to her, sisters, she doesn't say, SUV or car. She's like very specific, Range Rover.
Yes.
You know, like there just seems to be just this extra level of like, I'm going to remind you that I know brands. Yes. I don't know.
Yes. I think that I read that as an endorsement. Like she's just so extra obnoxious. I'm like, great. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I have to say, and we can talk about Stephanie because we had a whole episode already. I think so far I am very enthusiastic.
You're on board,
That she's totally obnoxious. She reminds me of like if Salma Hayek were like a minion.
This is where you bring up Minion. I was gonna say this for later, but listen, I'm almost never Team Lisa. But when Lisa said, "Who are you, Boss Baby?"
I was like,
and then the editors cut to a very Boss Baby shot of Stephanie. I lost it. So now you're saying the Minions and the Boss Baby. Yeah,
when she said Boss Baby, I was like, "That's hilarious." But then so just funny. Right now, I was like, "But I think it's actually maybe she's it like might. a minion with like
Steve.
A little
she's Steve
with like a little bob. I don't know if it's a bob or whatever, flip or something. She just sort of walks around and." she has her like retro like Jackie Onassis outfits.
Oh my gosh. But you know, I think I hear you on that. I think this is going to be a character that we get to love. There are a couple of, did you get Bronwyn vibes?
I didn't say we're going to get to love her. I just said that she's going to fit in.
I was getting Bronwyn vibes a little bit.
That was the first thing I thought.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I think that like anytime you hear, I haven't talked to this family member in a decade or something like that. And you're like, oh, this is definitely going to be a story. I can't wait for the internet to do its detecting.
Oh, yeah. Everything's going to come out. We're going to find out that her whole group is bankrupt and it's just going to all crumble for her. We see the trajectory already. But I love that she comes in and she feels very comfortable.
Yeah.
But she is obnoxious. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, the way she was greeting people, I was like, oh, God, she would wear me out in real life. But on the show, I'm very happy about this, you know. And we'll get to what happened later today. I really enjoyed how she handled herself today. But why don't we dive into the episode. So we open up with Alexia. Oh, God, what a funny scene to open up with. So Alexia arrives at a restaurant and she comes over and she meets this guy named Daniel, who is a self-help expert.
Yes.
And he's just sitting there. And I'm already just like laughing at the idea of being a self-help expert. I was like, does that mean you're an expert at teaching self-help?
Everything about her makes me laugh. I always told my wife, I'm like, she feels like sort of like this. There's some kind of bird. Maybe it's like an ostrich. Like there's just something about her where her posture and everything just feels like,
yes.
She's like, rum, rum,
rum. And she carries her like when she gets into a certain mood where she like lifts her chin up high and she's like very imperial. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I decided this. I'm going to meet with self-help expert. Yep. So
I like how she says that this, she's like, he's very young, but he's very wise. And I'm like, he's a self-help expert. Like you said, I'm like, I had not quite heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of like motivational speaker, but like self-help expert is, it almost sounds like he helps other people who do self-help.
to self-help the way he self-helps.
Right. It's like, he's like, if you want to write a book about self-help, I will tell you how to do it. He's like a meta self-help person. But yeah, she's like, yeah, he's so wise, you know. So they've met on, she says that they've met because she was on Instagram. And we see all these flashbacks, you know, about like, you know, Alexia's journey with Todd trying to get over her shit. And she's like, oh, well, I came across Daniel on Instagram and he's like a life coach. So I just started liking his pictures. And I just felt like a lot of the messages he was posting really resonated with me and like what I was going through. So these are some of the memes that he has. Never try to defend yourself against a narcissist. They already know you're right. They just want you to go crazy trying to prove it. Oh, he's so wise. Wise beyond his years. I just love that she's saying like how wise he is. Like he's like has tenure at like UCLA. He like started some program in like understanding narcissism. And it's just like he has very trite memes up about like, you know, if you don't like yourself, then look in the other way or something like that. Very generic.
It's basically everything that gets forward. He's almost like a meme aggregator, but he like has half of it the meme and the top half is like a picture of himself.
Yes.
Like, which is sort of weird when you're always addressing narcissism.
He's kind of like to self-help what Adriana's lyricist is to music. Like he's sort of like a predecessor to AI.
I do love that song. I love it so much.
It's so good. It's really good.
I also really appreciate the fact that they do this montage flashback to all the stuff that Alexia's been going through. And she's really been going through a lot. I mean,
yes.
Like, you really want to, like, look out for her. I mean, trust me, I am one of those people. I just don't understand why she thinks that Todd is good for her in any respect.
Yeah.
And you really just want to kind of reach to the screen and be like, come on, dude.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I think that she does not want to fail at marriage 3 times.
Yeah.
And I think that...
That like, always comes up, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, I've already been divorced 3 times. Totally.
I'm for the Frankie. And so I think that like there's a part of her that's like, maybe I can make this work because if I fail at marriage 3 times, maybe I have a problem, which she doesn't necessarily have a problem. Maybe she chooses the wrong guys, but that doesn't mean that
when she says I'm still attracted to that fucking asshole, I was like, oh, is the dream of every fucking asshole who ever lived.
Yeah,
some woman is like crying over him saying that she's still attracted to
and
him.
It's like Todd of all people. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was like I don't know, if it's like Mauricio,
yeah,
you know?
Or but
like
Even that random French guy who Adriana showed up with.
That guy.
That kind of makes sense.
Even Martina. Okay. Even Martina.
who had the weirdest take of the entire season when Gertie came over and said hi to her, and she just kind of shook her head and smiled with this Joker grin. That was so weird.
I know, that was amazing. But yeah, Alexia is just like going through it. And so she was like, you know, I was listening to a lot of life coaches and a lot of them were women. But I guess with Daniel, it was just a different perspective because like it was coming from a man. And so even though he was so young, he had so much wisdom. He had man wisdom. I don't know what about him being a man.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. You know, this is my personal issue with Alexia. Like, I love the person who I see on the show. And I'm like, oh man, it'd be great to meet her in real life and be like best friends. But then I'm like, there's like a weird sort of like, a conservatism that probably comes from like her, you know, the part of the Cuban culture she sort of seems to cling tightest to. But like, just like, yeah, the fact that he's a man meant something to her. And I was just like, yes. Seems like you could probably take this advice from anybody.
Yeah, I was like, maybe she's trying to like say, well, I understand. Well, that's not even she's saying
she,
from a
she,
man.
She presaged it with, by saying something like, you know, like I went to all these like, you know, women coaches, but then he seemed to really connect with me, even though he was a man. And then, you know, like, and then she sort of went off from there. So in her defense, you know, that probably did mean something to her.
She's on a real anti-narcissist kick this season, which I think is actually really funny. I mean, hey, I stand by it. Like, let's get rid of the narcissist. I hate to say it, but like, it's a show that's built. It's a network that's built on narcissism. I mean, she even kind of references
They're all narcs, as Marisol would say.
Launch out for the narc. The narcs are gonna get you. It's like, that's not.
She's so proud. Can I say Marisol? I've been really happy with this season because she let all the cocky jokes pretty much go. Yeah. That stuff was like coming across as grandma jokes, and I was just like, really? Do we have to make that joke every episode? I feel like she's been a lot more real, and I'm really happy about her.
I liked her wedding. It was nice. I thought it was like when she said some of those sentiments about like, well, we're getting old and we need to look after each other. I was like, that was really sweet.
Really touching.
Yeah, it was touching.
That was really touching. Apparently, her brother can't get dressed up for the occasion.
No.
He was literally just wearing a shirt with three buttons open.
She had an eye patch on for some reason. I don't even remember why, but.
Let me tell you, I played a character with an eye patch on Sherman Showcase, and it seems fun when you're writing it.
Yeah.
But I sympathize with her. Dude, you don't realize. It's not like closing one eye. There's something weird that happens when you're covering up that much of your face. You lose all depth perception. It's terrible.
Yeah. You're a hero for getting through that.
Thank you so much.
So this guy Daniel's like, well, you know what? You do, you know, when you meet people, you do get that gut feeling and you have to listen to your gut. One flag will turn into 10 flags, and by the 10th flag, you've lost who you are.
By the 20th flag, you do.
By the 10th flag, you turn to Lisa Hochstein.
Did you really understand that by the 10th flag thing? I think I know the point he was trying to make, but it was such a weird way to make it.
Yeah, I guess it's that you're seeing so many flags. You're now, you've ignored so many flags that you've forgotten who you are. I guess you've just skied past them.
Exactly.
Off the slope into the abyss, and you've lost yourself completely. And she's like, oh yeah, oh well, my head, you know, my thoughts aren't aligned with my heart right now. Like, my head is telling me, Alexia, be careful, but my heart is so strong that it can kind of just like blank out my head, which I think is kind of a funny concept with Alexia. Like, I hate to break some news to you, but I think the head may have been blanked out before. So he's just like, you know, you'd think yourself and you're still so susceptible to it, to being on the receiving end of it. And that's why you need to be so self-aware. And as you know, I've written 3 books now and coached over 350 people into being victims of narcissistic abuse, as he winks to the camera and like a twinkle appears in his teeth.
This guy, I always feel like there's just a certain group of people who show up when you have a lot of money. And yes. they've figured their way into your wallet. There's a little bit of that going on with Daniel.
This is the guy. So I thought in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is just a scene where Alexia is just going through her narcissism thing and she's, you know, figuring it out and talking to some guy, because they always pick up these random strays on this show and have these like mojitos with them. But then the surprise of the scene is that she announces to us that she's going to be having an anti-narcissism party. And it's going to be Greek.
A Greek theme, as one does.
A toga party.
As one does. We're always throwing those.
Greek inspired. She's like, well, that's where narcissism began. The Greeks.
Okay, that's where the word narcissism.
Yeah.
There were no narcissists in ancient Egypt.
No,
that wasn't started there.
No,
Pharaoh was humble.
Pharaoh, very humble. Greece,
no
Greece
humility.
It.
He built a pyramid. It was for the people. That's why he had the people.
The first person who tried tzatziki just became instant narcissists.
That is so funny.
I love that she's doing, because this is why I love the show, that they're having an anti-narcissism Greeks gods and goddess party. It makes literally no sense, but we're going to do it anyway. And then there's also going to be a hurricane too.
Well, I will say, now's probably a good time to say, I feel like I learned so much from this show about like safety.
Yeah.
I had no idea the coconuts were killing people in Miami. I had no idea.
I thought it was the frozen iguanas falling out of the trees. That's what I heard.
Well, I'm also like, I guess between coconuts falling and lightning, these are the worries that people in Miami have.
I know.
This PSA is up there with, I forget which maybe it was Alexia, but she was like, you know, some people have that disease where eyeballs fall out of their head. When they were talking about Joni, do you remember
that? Yes.
They're like, well, you know, some people have that disease where their eyeballs fall out of their head. I was like, these are the PSAs other shows aren't willing to tell us about, because I didn't know that was a disease.
And what I like about Miami is I'm not sure if, like, they are PSAs, because they are definitely our public service announcements. I just don't know if they're actually
I don't know if anybody's fact checked. I don't know that I believe coconuts kill more people than the lightning strikes.
I'm going to say coconut deaths per year. Actually, I feel like I heard this then, and I thought it was like a lie. True. Okay. Yes, it was on another Bravo show that this came up. The claim, this is brought to you by Adriana's lyricists, aka Google AI, because that's the only thing that answers things.
But he's not writing songs.
Yeah. The claim, we don't want Grok to be writing songs, no. I'll tell you that much.
We thought Kanye was bad. Grok.
Yeah.
Grok's going for the throne.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even talk about Lisa with that last name.
No, he wouldn't. It's like, I refuse. He's like a baker in Colorado. So... the claim that 150 people are killed annually by fallen coconuts is widely considered a myth.
Oh, see?
While some deaths do occur...
You can't trust anybody.
I mean, if Adriana isn't going to be accurate about coconut deaths, who will be? But we now go to Lisa Hoxie's home, and she's like, well, I thought we dodged hurricane season. It's still Category 5. Which, by the way, I guess now is a good time to mention. We never really talk about this. I don't know why Ryan and I do Lisa Hoxie like, wow, talk like this. But it's fun.
But it captures something about her. Yeah, no, that's one thing I love about you guys. It's just like you guys get down to the essence. I'm always blown away by the voices.
So she's talking about how they've dodged hurricane season, and Jody, full of charisma as always, says he's so excited he parts his teeth by, I think, half a millimeter.
Doesn't he seem like a guy who's like very like doesn't want to be there?
Even when
she sat down to talk about her father, like his body language was like, I was literally like, does he want to be in that room? It was very weird.
I think he wants to be in a room with some better AC. I think that's it. That's all
he's all about the AC.
Just need some AC. So he's like, oh, I didn't see it getting to be that bad. I mean, this place has a lot of windows. Well, hurricane insurance. You're supposed to have hurricane insurance, right? It's by law. You have to have hurricane insurance. He's like, yeah, don't worry. It's not going to be a problem at all. But what about the hurricane insurance? Okay, all right. How about that new house that Lenny is building? So Lisa's telling us that Lenny is still building this house for her. This is going to be a shitty house, right? This is a house that's going to fall apart, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all, first off, I don't know how many of us knew what MSA stood for. That was new for me.
That was a PSA about MSA.
It was a PSA about MSA's marital settlement agreement. This is a weird coupling, because I think that Jody truly does have her back in these times, but her brain still seems very Lenny focused. In
100%, yeah, she's full Lenny. She's full Lenny on the mind.
She has not moved on from Lenny. And no. But then when you see like her weird relationship with her father, you realize that she's kind of used to having, you know, almost like an absence of the approval of the man she really wants. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it kind of started with the father,
it does.
And then, yeah, of course. And now it's Lenny.
I mean, pretty much, like, I would say 75% of all Real Housewives are just grappling with issues from their father. I think that's just it all. It just goes back there.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. I thought maybe parental, but you're kind of right. There does seem to be this trend.
I think it's going to be, yeah. I feel like they... I mean, I'm sure they have mommy
like Whitney's
issues.
Whitney's from Salt Lake. Whitney's dad is like in season one.
Yeah.
And then he really disappears around season two or three.
Yeah. He'd like, and he like literally disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're all just trying to like deal with their daddy issues in some way. And, you know, yeah. God bless. Man, if only they had an Australian self-help expert to guide them along the way.
That's all they need, man.
They could have been so much happier. So Lisa's talking about her, like, this MSA and everything. And then she's also, like, really mad because Larsa brought up Jody at Marisol's wedding. And she's like, I feel like people take advantage of me. And then you came into my life and that stopped. And people are mad about it. People are mad that I've got somebody that has my back. And that's fucked up. That's what it is.
Can I just say, like, I think I'm, you know, and I always think Larsa's a bit of a villain. But I kind of agree with Larsa that it's weird if it's not weird that they ran into Marcus, you know, you know, at the restaurant. To me, it is weird that they would take a, they would take a selfie. Even if Marcus takes the selfie, why post it? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Why would Jody post that?
It's weird that Jody posts that. Like, yeah. Cause Lisa didn't take the selfie.
Thirsty. I think that is thirsty.
That is thirsty. And it's also like, why are you clout chasing with Marcus? of all the Jordans when you could be clout chasing with an actual Pippin instead. You could probably clout chase with the Pippin if you play your cards right.
Maybe I just think that it's you know, I kind of understand where Lars is coming from. That of course she always presents, you know, she's an example of somebody who can be on the right side and present it in the worst way.
Yes.
But you know, I think that, you know, yeah,
well, so Lisa's just still like really mad at Larsa about this about like the fact that Larsa brought up Jody at the wedding, and now she's got like a chip on her shoulder and she's gonna, you know, their feud is gonna grow.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So now we go over to Stephanie walking into a place called Shoma Bazaar.
You don't know what Shoma is? Shoma. I mean, like, you know, if you go to Miami, you're going to visit Shoma.
Shoma. I mean, it's like the MoMA, except it's quiet.
It's got one of these really tacky Shoma written all over the wall sort of thing. And I like how Stephanie went out of her way to say, oh, you know, he started in the early 80s, I think before I was born. You know, like, it's like, okay, you definitely prefaced 80s with early so that you could say that it's before you were born, hence I'm so young.
Yes, exactly. She's like, I'm pushing the fact that she's so young while she's dressing like she's from Mad Men.
From the 60s.
So she's coming inside, it's raining outside, and like she doesn't want to get her Birkin wet and everything. And so she starts telling us
just an excuse to mention her Birkin.
Yep, just an excuse.
Just in case you didn't see it.
Yep.
Oh my god, I might have gotten this Birkin wet.
Don't want to get the Birkin wet. Well, why'd you take it out? It was raining when you left the home.
It was raining. It was raining when you're walking from the car. Like,
Is your JCPenney bag for the rainy days?
that was extreme.
You have to have a rainy day bag, I assume. So she says this whole thing about how her husband's part of the Shoma group and everything, and that they built over 12,000 homes and condominiums and townhouses.
Aren't the condominiums in Miami falling over anyway?
I assume.
I actually meant to look up and see whether his was one of the ones that collapsed, but. But hers is, of course, Shoma Bazaar, which is a restaurant sort of like bar type thing.
I don't know what it was. It almost looked like a WeWork in there. It was like,
it wasn't clear. It looked like her manager was in trouble for last week's sales because he was like, it's been much better this week.
Yes. It's like, it's a weird hello, madame.
It's a weird thing to lead with.
It's sort of actually not even a WeWork. It almost felt like one of those like Capital One cafes that you see around.
Totally.
You know, I was like, what is this Shoma Bazaar? Do they have a credit card? What are they doing in there? So they're there, and I guarantee, by the way, we are definitely going to start seeing lots of lawsuits against the Shoma group. Everything's going to get dug up. It's all going to come out.
I'm getting that vibe.
Class action.
Yes.
You know, this happened. Someone fell down a staircase.
We're going to find out her husband has done some really crooked stuff.
It's all going to come out in the wash. It's going to be great. I mean, you just can't have a real estate developer that doesn't have any sort of like
skeletons.
They literally, I mean, we've seen Poltergeist. They will literally build on skeletons.
He may not have skeletons, but he does have apparently a big red statue of a naked woman with her legs crossed. With an egg roll placed on a... It's insane.
I completely missed that statue. Did you see that statue?
That statue is nuts. Yeah, I love the B-roll they get sometimes. Sometimes you're just like, what the hell was that?
Who was the person who put the single egg roll on the statue? Who put an egg roll? Why are they serving egg rolls the same place that you can get like a sandwich with the prosciutto on it?
Listen, Chartine, take notice.
Shawarma Bazaar is changing the way we do things, changing the way lunch looks. So she's doing this thing where she's like, as president of the Shawarma Group, I oversee almost every aspect of Shawarma, acquiring land, the hospitality division, the marketing, the sales, the leasing, the employees, the egg rolls. I know exactly where they are at any given time. Get that egg roll off the statue.
They are there.
Who put the egg roll on the statue? We are shooting a scene here. So she's just once again, you know, announcing how important she is. So people come to meet her. So Larsa and Kiki show up and they sit down to have this prosciutto in the presence of the egg roll. This is going to actually really bother me now because they got like several like prosciutto on like ciabatta bread.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why there was an egg roll.
Yeah, so there's sometimes, I'm not saying we can't have sort of open format dining, no, but this is too extreme.
This is really taking global cuisine too far, I think. So Stephanie calls her mom and they speak Spanish and just say hello and everything. And then she starts saying like, oh, my mom and dad call me 100 times a day. They're like my best friends. I like to took them on my honeymoon, which everyone is like, did you take your parents or did Brittany take her parents on your honeymoon?
Did that truly didn't happen. But I also think it's ridiculous what I think once again, Lars is on the right side of history, but then when she says, like, you're supposed to be hanging from the chandelier. You're supposed to be having sex 4, 5, or 10 times a day. Like, she always reminds you of the crazy lies that she's told in previous seasons somehow. I'm like, oh, yeah, there was that time when she claimed she was having sex 5 times a day with Marcus.
Yeah, precisely. And you know what's interesting? Stephanie is saying about how her parents call her, like, every single day, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm realizing now that she's, in a way, I think maybe bragging to her twins through the TV. She's like, her twin sister.
That is so twisted. I didn't even think of that. Yeah,
I didn't know because I didn't think anything of it because we didn't know about her. But she's basically saying, like,
I talk to mom every day.
Yeah, you should talk to me because mom and dad love me.
They call me like a million times a day.
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. That's the familiar version of saying, oh, my Birkin's getting wet.
Yes,
she's telegraphing everything.
She's family bragging. So then Kiki's talking. She talks about her dad. She has, you know, she's growing her relationship with her dad. She found out she has a little brother and everything. And
that was just weird to me. I had no idea. You know, first off, her dad, he's. Everything you would think. What can you even say about that man? Like, he was just like, how did he say that he had a 4-year-old? He was like, you know, he said something in the effect of, we have a 4-year-old that I gave to her or something. It was like a weird way of saying.
Actually, it's literally written right here. And she said in the flashback, Kiki's like, oh, I thought you were with someone new. So you do have a couple? And he goes, and he says, yeah, she got one little boy for me.
From me. That was, she got one little boy from me. Like, he did the work.
Yeah.
That was so bizarre.
It was like he said, hey, when you go to the store, can you pick me up a liter of, like, Diet Coke? Yeah, she got that for me.
Yeah, she got that for me. Yeah. That was crazy.
So, you know, they're talking about parents and Stephanie's like, every day that goes by is one less day that we have on earth. I mean, time is ticking. I'm no one to talk because I was inseparable with my twin sisters. I have twin sisters, by the way. Unfortunately, I did what I shouldn't have done, which is, well, they say don't work with family and they got a job at the Shawarma Group and it just didn't end well because they are shit workers. Oops, said that on camera. Anyway, now we haven't spoken in 3 years, probably because they've been getting fired left and right from every job they've had ever since.
So. I mean, again, this is one of those stories that I think we're going to find out the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, wow, that's really lame of her sisters. And I was like, ooh, I bet you those sisters have another story to tell.
100% they do. And she says how I'm a really giving person, which is hilarious. Because, by the way, you haven't given anything so far. And you've been on you've been on for one episode in 10 minutes and I haven't seen you give anything.
Yeah.
Just so you know. And she's like, I mean, I gave them a Range Rover and I gave one of them a Mini Cooper. And I was like, oh. So,
and they were like, are you ashamed?
Isn't that like a little bit of a disparity, giving one person a Range Rover and one person a Mini Cooper?
Those don't seem like they match, do they? It's literally like, you need all the space and you need nothing.
I feel like that's, she was trying to drive a wedge between the twins. Literally drive a wedge.
She's Manichaean. Yeah, she's Machiavellian. She's definitely trying to take over something. I like what she's talking about, like, oh, I have to speak to 80 men. Sometimes, you know, like, I have to be the boss.
Yeah, you know, I talk like this because I talk to men all the time.
Always comes back to talking to men.
Yeah, exactly. So she's just talking about how I talk to 80 men. That's how I deal. I'm a boss bitch. She's like,
and that's what I really wanted, you know, Trixie to come in with, like, I'm a boss, bitch, you know, something.
Yeah.
Would have been a perfect segue.
And she's, and they start talking about Julia's baby shower, which, by the way, I thought Julia and Stephanie were not going to get along, because remember last week when Stephanie came in and remember when Julia came in and they said, oh, Stephanie doesn't like children. And then Julia had a look on her face like, but I have two children.
And I have my goat children. Yeah, I thought that wasn't going to work out either, but that wasn't the play.
Yeah.
They had other issues that were going
to
pop
up. Julia actually recruited her to sit next to her at the baby shower, much to Adriana's, you know, chagrin.
Yeah, that was interesting. I remember that. Also, the baby shower was just funny in general because Julia talking about, like, you know, I guess, you know, Martina not expecting to know what happens at a baby shower. And she's going to have such a skewed view of what happens at baby showers. Like, yeah. Some of those things that Adriana came up with, I've never seen any baby shower ever.
The weirdest thing about that baby shower for me that I could not get over was how it was just the cast. So it was probably like eight. I think it was like the seven or eight people on the cast. Plus there were two randos sitting in the corner. And Adriana just had a microphone in her hand the entire time. Like she was talking to like a giant room. And I was like,
think about that.
I was like, why do you have a microphone? It was driving me nuts. I was like, this is not a microphone moment.
And then when Alexia tries to say something and then they go back and forth, and I was actually surprised they called out the bridesmaids of it all. I was like, this is so producer.
Yeah.
This is so producer.
100%. So what's her face? Stephanie starts to complain about Lisa a little bit. She starts to say how, you know, like, she's like, well, a lot of the girls gave me like a really warm welcome, although I already know who's going to like me and who's not going to like me. And we see this flashback to Lisa last week,
which was crazy. That was a crazy flashback from Lisa. I mean, like, she just had to be really drunk to even say that kind of stuff, wasn't she?
I think so. I think it's a combination of drunkenness and like just her base level stupidity.
That is,
you know,
crazy. I want to be friends with people who have jets and yachts. I just can't imagine somebody saying that if you're just not completely trash. But I think you're right. I think that's who she is.
So normally I would think that's like a super tacky and obnoxious thing to say. I do think that.
Uh-huh.
But I also feel like on this show, like, it's weird that she gets villainized for that. By Stephanie, who has come on and bragged about how she gave a Range Rover and a Mini Cooper and she has this and that and everything, and everyone brags about all the items that they have, and she has her Birkin bag, and then someone, so like, she clearly, you know, like luxury items are her love language.
Yeah.
And she literally says it as her tagline. And then Lisa's like, okay, I'm going to talk about luxury. Like this, I'm going to speak your love language.
Like, ooh, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah. She's like,
that's
no,
not cool.
No, you can't. You actually said that you're thirsty for my yacht, and I need me to want you to come to my, on my yacht or something like that. So she's basically, Stephanie's totally turned off by what she sees as like a, probably like a social climby superficial thing from Lisa.
She sees superficiality in somebody, not in the mirror, and it really turns her off.
Yeah. She's not happy about it whatsoever. But it's also like, it is a stupid thing for Lisa to say. And also just shows her true colors.
It was just really weird. I mean, I want to be friends with her. It actually made me think that maybe she wasn't addressing, maybe the editors made it look like she was saying it towards Stephanie, but like Stephanie wasn't there, because it's just a weird sentence.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, like, I don't know why I'm defending Lisa on this. I can also see, like, tongue in cheek, it's like, I can sort of see it being, like, I could see it landing tongue in cheek a little bit.
Maybe if the timing were a little different, it could come across as kind of funny.
Yeah. But
and ironic, but that's
still
not how it
wouldn't
across.
Say it. Still probably wouldn't say it. Yeah. So, you know, and then Larsa, of course, piles on. Larsa's so happy. Also, by the way, Stephanie came to us through Larsa. So I think that, like, Stephanie has come on as a ally of Larsa to go against Lisa.
But by the way, I always feel like the person you bring on the show inevitably becomes your enemy.
Always.
I mean, always. Like, you know, didn't Rinna bring...
It's like everyone.
Did she bring Denise on, technically?
Denise, yeah. It just happens time and time again. Yeah. It's always Bronwyn and Lisa.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's
at
classic.
Some point, you're like, okay, they're on the show. Okay, great. Here come the jabs.
Mm-hmm. I feel like right now, though, I think that for some reason, I feel like Stephanie's just going to stay on Lisa's neck. I think it's just like easy prey.
Yeah.
And she really, I think she's going to be able to like just, I think she's going to thrash Lisa around all season long.
Definitely this season.
And it'll be funny.
Because we love to see it.
We love to see it.
I think Lisa probably does need some allies at some point. we'll get into that once we get to that Splinter Van situation.
Yeah, I don't think she has any allies.
I don't think she has anybody.
She has Jody. So now we go to Marisol, and she's like, you know, getting ready for the hurricane. So Steve brings home like a lantern. She's like, oh, thanks, Boo Bear. Thanks for the lantern. Oh, whoa, we're gonna get ready for this hurricane. Gotta get some khakis ready in case we lose the roof.
Yeah, she did say khakis in the scene. I'll give her that. It wasn't in the testimonial.
Yeah, and then Julia is like, the rain is coming down. Like, this reminded me of the episode of Golden Girls where do you remember this? They had Saturday night at NBC. I think they had like a hurricane that spanned from Golden Girls into Empty Nest.
Oh, that's hilarious. I used to love those kind of crossovers.
I love, me too. Good. Those were the best. It was like a whole night event where like every episode had like some sort of thing.
Empty Nest was such a good show.
This is like a forgotten sitcom.
It's totally forgotten.
Ron and I mentioned it quite a bit on the show. We mentioned Dreyfus and Dinah Manoff fairly frequently. But
it's really underrated.
It's a sitcom that there are certain sitcoms that fall through the cracks and never really shine in syndication.
I think it was a hit then, but I feel like if you ask anybody, you know,
no one knows
anybody under the age of 40 about it, they're never going to know.
It's not going to be on a hip t-shirt. You're not going to see Dreyfus on a t-shirt and people be like, oh yeah. Like it has no research. I think like that and Mr. Belvedere.
Dear John, I remember being
Dear
pretty
John,
good.
Great. I love that theme song. Dear John.
I can see the whole thing. By the time you read this letter, I'll be gone. You know, like, da, 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 we do have that in common. We do love classic sitcoms.
We really do. There's
your next podcast.
Now I'm not gonna stand on a soapbox for Nurses. I felt like Nurses did not quite really.
I don't think I know Nurses.
It was the spinoff of Empty Nest. It was bad.
I think I went 227 to Amen. That was another great combo.
That was a great Saturday nights at NBC between 227, Amen, Golden Girls, and Empty Nest or Facts of Life, depending on what year it was. That was just such a great, great schedule lineup. It was basically like the Real Housewives of Miami of scheduling.
For sure.
Golden Girls was like Alexia.
Oh gosh.
Meaning like
this,
the star.
This is a whole we the do star. Want to go down.
So, it's the star of the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I thought you were gonna say like, okay, so who's Alexia? Is that Blanche? Like I thought you were gonna go.
Oh no. Okay. I'm just saying like I'm getting real meta that like if Golden Girls were a cast member,
Alexia.
I mean, sorry, if the Saturday night lineup on NBC were Real Housewives of Miami, I think Alexia's Golden Girls. Mm. Larsa is
maybe Empty Nest.
I feel like Julia's Empty Nest in a weird way.
Really? Even with all those chickens. Okay.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Maybe not. You know, maybe Julia. Do you remember that show?
Julia's Perfect Strangers to me. She's sort of the weirdest. She's the Bronson Pinchot.
She really is. If Perfect Strangers migrated to Saturday nights on, or there was a time when Mad About You was on Saturday nights on.
Oh, wow. Is that true?
It was weird.
Okay.
It was a weird time. Okay. Getting back to this. So basically, Julia's like, she's locking up her chickens and everything. And Gertie is, you know, Gertie's walking around and she's like, guys, this is the day. What a storm. And the wind is winding. Look at this. It's already starting. Oh my God. I'm going to gratify this hurricane. And then Adriana, this is where we find out Adriana's PSA. She is having such a creepy scene here. Cause she's like, this reminds me of RIP Brittany. What's her face in that movie? Like, I'll never tell.
What is that?
Is it called I'll Never Tell? No, it's not.
I don't know.
It was that where she was just saying that. And I just feel like that's what Adriana was doing to the coconuts. She was just like staring at them and was like, I'll never tell. Because she's like saying how the coconuts are going to. She's like, funny fact, more people die from coconuts every year than bullets. I don't know.
It's like she's looked at like charts of like all the ways you can die. And she's just like, this one comes in right between like lightning and like getting hit by a Kawasaki jet ski.
Yes. Yeah. She says more deaths caused by coconuts falling on people's heads there than there are lightning striking people. I don't know what sort of anti-coconut lobby started this rumor, but I don't appreciate it.
It might be the coconut lobby. They want you to donate their coconuts to the to
harvest those coconuts before they kill you.
You don't want them on the trees, folks. Get them down. We'll take them. hurricane season's coming up.
It's a coconut drive. Everyone bring your coconuts to the high school auditorium.
Absolutely.
So we see the hurricane comes through and everything. It's wild. And it's kind of this interesting interlude because in some ways they didn't even have to show that there was a hurricane, right? Like they could have just skipped the whole hurricane. I don't think it was very impactful on anything.
No, not at all. And I think they just, you know, sometimes these shows, they're like, okay, guys, we need 3 minutes. We need 3 minutes of something.
I think that's what it was.
And there's so many time jumps this season. Like, you know, you watch that first episode, it was like 2 weeks later, 5 months later, a week later. Like, there's been so many jumps.
They're really all over the place.
They're really all over. Like, I think in scene one of episode one, people still are married. you know, people still have husbands. By, you know, the end of the episode, nobody's married.
Exactly. So I don't feel like we needed the hurricane, but I'm glad we had it. I felt like it added stakes to an episode that was a little bit of a laser episode. It was just like, okay, we have a hurricane. And then the hurricane passes. Now it's like one day after the hurricane. And Marisol is like walking around. She's like surveying it. And she tells us, this cracked me up when she said this. She goes, well, I'm so happy that the hurricane passed right over us. I mean, I knew it was going to happen. I manifested it. My manifestations have been on point. So you're welcome, Miami, because Marisol manifested the hurricane passing by. No one was hit.
I mean, can you manifest more often? becomes the question.
Use it. Probably. I just love it. It was like, it was her manifestation.
She saved the day.
She stopped the hurricane with her manifestations.
Marisol, unsung hero of Miami on this episode.
I always thought like you use manifestation to like manifests, I don't know, love in your life,
happiness in your career or something like that. No, apparently for some people it's just like, you know, bloodless hurricane.
Yeah, just like
no coconuts.
Yeah,
no falling coconuts.
That's actually the most important thing. Thank you. So now Alexi and Gertie meet up at a cafe, and you know, this is the first time since both the hurricane and the wedding. And so they say their hellos and everything. And Gertie's like, you know, with the group right now, I just feel so misunderstood. I don't understand what's happening. So I have this little bit of time to reflect more on what's happened since Marisol's wedding party. And I've been thinking a lot about a lot of different things. And like, I just feel so helpless at the point where I don't feel like I'm being heard at this group. And like, I feel like I'm saying so many things and I'm wondering about so many things. And like, no one is understanding. Like, do people understand that like there were coconuts in the sky and I could have died. We all could have died. Russell almost died because there was a coconut nearby. Like, I think people can hear you, Gertie. But but for real, it is weird. People are not, like, I think it was so terrible what happened to Gertie. Julia was terrible that night at the wedding.
I mean, like, and the fact that, like, they were like, well, now you've got to leave. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I thought the whole thing was very bizarre.
Yeah. And a little microaggression-y, I have to say, right?
Kind of, yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. I mean, like, you know, people online sort of agree. They were just like, you know, like, did Julia just morph into like the worst kind of Karen, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know where that came from. Did she say like, okay, like, you know, I'm on the chopping block for the show or something like that, so I've got to like go be extra? Because this is all about like a Zoom call and some sort of
sometimes you fall off of Zoom. Like,
it happens.
It's like, she saw, I saw the number drop out and I knew that she was there. Like, shit happens on Zoom all the time. Like, you know,
not everyone. And it's a Zoom about announcing an adoption. If it was not important enough, whatever. It's just,
I understand why like congrats can come across as cold. Cause you know, especially since it's the prompt now on AI equipped phones, but just the idea that like, you know, oh, by the way, she did something that I think was absolutely aggressive, which was she told her, oh, you'll see it in the news. Like, because she dropped off, she couldn't tell her. She couldn't just text her like, it's we're announced that, you know, we've got the twins, you know, like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's all ridiculous. And the fact that she wound up like throwing water at her is so like, it's wild. So Gertie is saying, like, she's like, you know what? I texted everybody about the New York Stock Exchange thing, and everyone's like, we're all Googling about the baby shower. But, like, her big thing is that she rang the bell at the Stock Exchange.
I don't know why. Gertie just looks really happy to take pictures. Like, all the pictures of her on the cruise, on the controversial cruise. Like, you know, she likes to take pictures. She likes to, you know, announce that, you know, she's doing stuff. But it is also kind of funny, like, in just a meta way, how she's like, I was ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange and nobody came out to support me. Like, drop everything.
I wonder if she said NYSE in the text message, that like, instead of like New York Stock Exchange, like, I'm going to the NYSE or whatever.
I hadn't even thought
maybe,
about that.
Maybe they just were like, we don't understand what this means. I'm ringing the bell at the NYSE. Like, is this new slang? Is this?
Well, I mean, we've already established that some of them don't know the word clandestine. So yeah. I don't know that we know that they would know where to go. She's like, hey, I'm ringing the bell at NYSE.
Don't do it in front of Frankie. So she's like really upset because she's like, no, I did this cool thing. I went to the stock exchange. Gertie went to the stock exchange and no one even said congratulations. It's just like invisible. It's like, I just feel like I'm speaking. It's like not even reciprocated. Like, what is even happening? You know, it's like my opinion is my opinion. Like, you know, you yell all the time and like you yell all the time and everyone has ups and downs, but like, how come you can yell it, but I can't yell or whatever. And Alexa's just shaking her head like, I'm allowed to yell. I'm the star.
Yeah. No, seriously. And I felt like I thought she was gonna, you know, usually when people get together at their lunch, they take the side of the person that they're at the lunch with.
Right.
But this was sort of surprising because Alexia was just like, you've got to do some certain stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like a continuation of people not hearing her, but it did seem to come from a place of genuine friendship this time. And
yeah. You know. I think what Gertie's biggest problem is that I think she's often on the right side. But when she gets activated, she just starts talking and like no one, yeah. like she doesn't hear other people and then no one, people just stop and they disengage from trying to like communicate with her. So then she always kind of like loses.
That's what Kiki said when they were at the Pilates place. I think it was the Pilates place, but yeah, she's just like, yes. You know, sometimes Gertie's going to Gertie, but you know what? I sort of feel like don't dim Gertie's light.
Don't.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Just let Gertie Gertie.
Yeah, like Gertie Gertie.
Let Gertie Gerd.
And so Gertie's just going on about this. And she's like, I just think that everybody has to take accountability in the sense that their own actions. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And Alexia finally finds a hook in to change it and make it about herself. Ironically, because she's like, oh, yeah, people are not taking accountability. That's the traits of narcissism.
I think someone sent her like the word of the day and it was like narcissists. She read the etymology. She knows it's a noun. Like, you know, like I feel like she just went to town on this word.
And she's like ready. And she's like, you know, I feel like a lot of
us. By the way, I'm having my Greek party.
Yeah. By the way, I'm having a Greek party about narcissism. I'm like, you realize you just made it about you, but you're talking about an anti-narcissism party, but you made it about you in the process, pulling away from Gertie. But yeah, she's basically like, yeah, you guys have to move forward so that way you can come to this anti-narcissism party.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We Cannot Tell a Lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Please Don't Stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.